Fox News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Guerrero.
47 days to go until Election Day. On today's Countdown 2024, we will turn to local politics. 1 week ago, we talked with embattled L.A. City Councilman Kevin De Leon. Today, we're talking with the woman looking to unseat him, Isabel Jurado. But first this.
We may be on the verge of a shakeup in the race for governor of North Carolina. Republican candidate Mark Robinson facing pressure from fellow Republicans and the Trump campaign to leave the race in that key swing state. This because of a damning scandal involving several inflammatory comments of a sexual nature and otherwise that Robinson allegedly made on a pornographic website's message board. This being reported by CNN today, Robinson has said he is staying in the race and has denied making the comments, calling the story tabloid trash.
The so-called uncommitted movement, it sprang from organizing efforts to get people to vote uncommitted in Democratic primaries, this to protest the Biden administration's handling of the Israel-Gaza war. It says it will not be endorsing Kamala Harris for president, even though the group opposes Donald Trump. Now, this could have major reverberations in a swing state such as Michigan. Thousands of Arab American voters there remain disenchanted over Kamala Harris's refusal to support an arms embargo against Israel.
And division within the powerful Teamsters union. Yesterday, the union said it will not be endorsing either Trump or Harris, but several local Teamster councils went ahead and endorsed Harris on their own. That includes the West Coast Teamsters with some 300,000 members right here in California.
Isabel Jurado is a relative political unknown going up against one of the most experienced and established politicians in Southern California. But that did not stop Jurado from upsetting the scandal-plagued Kevin De Leon in the primary. She describes herself as a tenants' right attorney, affordable housing activist, single mom, daughter of undocumented Filipino immigrants, and a lifelong Angeleno. And she's with us now. Thank you. So let me start off by asking you, how would you describe your own political philosophy, and how would that shape what you would do should you get elected to the LA City Council?
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you, Margaret. Thank you, Charles. I mean, I think, you know, I call myself a progressive, right? The status quo, the things that we know, politics as we know it is not working for working class people. And I'm tired of chipping away at change when we really want to make these bigger leaps. And we can't do that unless we have like-minded progressives on city council to move it along.
I mean, you have launched quite a grassroots campaign because not only were you taking on Kevin De Leon, who's been around for a while, There were two other well-known politicians in that primary race, and you came out on top. What were your thoughts in the primary, like on election night, when you're seeing those results come in?
Yeah, I have said this before, and I stand by it, is we ran this campaign as an insurgent campaign, and I thought I wasn't focused on winning. And so I'm surprised to be here in front of you today. I truly am. I was just like, okay, we're going to do the work. We're going to run this insurgent campaign, run it by our values. And if it works, that's great. And if it doesn't, then it just wasn't our time.
What was the spark, if there was one,
yeah,
that went off in you that said, I want to run for political office in the city of Los Angeles?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, right? Courageous, crazy, pick one.
Well, but I mean, especially being a single mom, yeah, on top of that.
Yeah, well, you know, this community raised me, right? I don't live alone. I live with my dad. Single mom may be a misnomer because it truly was a village that raised me and all this like patchwork neighbors. But for me, it was the tapes. That was like the last straw for me, right? Yeah. Having these people that claim to be progressive champions, yet behind closed doors are really betraying our values in a very clear way to serve their personal self-interest. That really ticked me off.
Did you hear a lot of the same feeling among the people in the community as you were going out doing door knocks, talking to people and the potential constituents that you would be representing if you are to get elected?
Yes. I mean, it resonates. I mean, there's varied reactions to it, right? But that is the resounding reaction to it. And especially, like, he was running for re-election as an incumbent. It shouldn't have been a race where it was almost an open primary, right? He ran against seven other people, and there's premise for running was because they were so appalled with his behavior. And these were various people, whether they were elected or not, or you know, various representatives of their certain neighborhood who just felt so betrayed. And for CD14, to put it in context, it's just we've had a history of leadership of that has failed us. You know, our previous council member is in prison for corruption and bribery for 13 years. Our previous council member moved in and said he wouldn't leave us, but he did for higher pastures. Our previous council member had to resign in disgrace. And so the constituents and the voters are just like, I'm so tired of being used, right? Right.
So everyone who runs for office, any yeah. politician, would-be politician, they always say variations of the same thing. If elected, we're going to do something different. We're going to take, whether it's the nation in a different direction, or in this case, the city. So can you cite two things that you would do if you're elected to the LA City Council, two things you would try to do that you think should be done that hasn't been done and isn't being done by Kevin DeLeon?
Yeah. I mean, one thing is approach to homelessness. We really want to do approaches to homelessness that works. I mean, our current council member, I don't know if you all saw this, about like a week ago, in order to clear the street and clean it and remove our RV encampment, he was trying to tow the RVs off the street. Well, he provided no notice to the residents that lived in the area, and not all the RVs didn't get towed, but all of the cars on the streets got towed, and it was in a renter-rich neighborhood, and folks had to pay barter like $300 for this tow truck in order to take their car off, and some of them didn't, and they had to donate their car, right? And this is like a, you know, this kind of solution was overly inclusive and seems haphazard. And this kind of solution to homelessness wasn't thoughtful. And it's only occurring in the 2 months before the election, right? And so I'm committed to working hard and making sure that people get city services and having better solutions to homelessness and having a background in eviction defense and working with communities on the ground that are facing the homelessness crisis in Skid Row and other places, really bringing them to the center of our campaign. You know, I love the philosophy of lead from the center because I am just an executor in a council member position, right? Like I'm executing things, but I don't have to live with the consequences of these decisions all the time, right? And so having the people that are most affected inside these conversations is important. So co-governance is one.
We're talking with Isabel Jurado, who is running for the Los Angeles City Council seat, now occupied by Kevin DeLeon, who we had on, we should point out, again last week on the show.
Yeah, 1 week ago today, in fact. Housing also a big issue, affordable housing. You've got a whole litany of things on your website. Mm-hmm. Give us an idea of just some of the main components of how you visualize it for the 14th District.
I mean, housing affordability is such a huge issue. It doesn't just affect the 14th, it affects the whole city. You know, I am a single mom. I do a public interest attorney job, so I'm not making gobs of money. But in part, I live with my dad still because that's what's affordable for me. And it works for all of us, right? And so wanting to have that house across the street from my parents was like the dream, right? But now that just feels so out of reach for so many people. And as an eviction defense attorney, I watched so many people fall into homelessness, and a lot of it was chronic homelessness or seniors because the rent is going up, and yet the Social Security doesn't go up by 4 to 6% every year. There, one tenant told me, like, I have to find a new disability in order to get more money so I can afford the rent. So fighting for tenant protections are key for me to keeping housing affordability, and then also reinserting communities that have been historically disadvantaged and left out of the development process and bringing them to the front of that conversation. Because for me, like neighborhoods like Boyle Heights or Lincoln Heights, so far in the development process, are brought at the end. I liken it to baking a cake, where you're like, okay, what do you want in the sprinkles? And the community should really be asked, what are the ingredients? So reversing kind of the development process to make sure that these specific communities that have been historically left out come back to the front of that conversation.
How would you rate the job being done by LA Mayor Karen Bass? On a scale of zero being terrible to 10 being really good.
Okay, that's maybe like a 6 or 7, 8, I don't know. It's a really tough job, right? I think there are definitely improvements that can be made, especially with our homelessness outreach program and wanting to work collaboratively if elected. But also thinking about the Olympics and the ambitious plan that we have for the city and trying to make sure that we can actually accomplish all of these goals. I mean, going to...
But what's your biggest concern about the Olympics?
I mean, part of it is just the execution, right? There's like a huge safety concern. Like if you see some of the infrastructure of our fire departments, if you go to them, you'll see that maybe they're not equipped or they don't have enough ambulances. And for us to take on such a global event, which will attract a lot of people, if something really were to happen, I want to know that I want to feel secure that we're prepared. That's one. The second thing is like, how are we going to handle these big issues? Like, how do we not repeat 1984 and sweeping up all the homeless people because downtown is a site and we still have Skid Row? And so making sure we have the humane approach and we're spending our money wisely. A lot of the complaints I hear at the door is like people do not want to see homelessness. They do want a solution, but it feels like things are not getting better, even though we've voted many times for more money to be attacking the problem.
Yeah, we've done that so many times. We have to take a quick break. Isabel Jurado, candidate for the 14th Los Angeles City Council seat, sticking with us for the duration of Countdown 2024. We'll be right back.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Thank you for sticking with us. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Margaret Carrero. We talked with incumbent LA City Councilmember Kevin DeLeon just last week and asked what his impressions were of his opponent, Isabel Jurado. Here's what he told us.
I don't know her at all. I've never heard of my opponent in my entire life. And I'm not trying to be tongue-in-cheek. Never heard of her in my entire life until last year. I know nothing of her or her accomplishments. The reality is the Democratic Socialists of America have put her up as a candidate. That is a reality. I don't know her at all.
Well, Isabel Jurado, who is a candidate for LA's 14th City Council District, is with us now on Countdown 2024. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on what Kevin DeLeon said on this show last week, and in particular, he made a big deal about calling you basically a Democratic Socialist, or you're being supported by the... Do you consider yourself a Democratic Socialist?
I'm a Democrat through and through. I've been endorsed by the Democratic Socialists of America, but I've also been endorsed by the Los Angeles County Democrats of America, who's endorsing Kamala Harris for president, and the same party that endorsed President Biden, who condemned Kevin and told him to step down, and the same party that also told him to do the same. So,
but he clearly meant it as a slap, because a lot of people, especially in the United States, they consider the word socialist almost a dirty word, even if it's preceded by the word democratic socialist.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we feel about, do you feel like he was trying to slight you, or?
I mean, I suppose. I think for me, when I take a step back and I think about the labels and the organizations, at the end of the day, we're forming a multi-generational, multiracial coalition that's focused on workers' rights, renters' rights, housing affordability. And that's why we've just gathered so much support and have a wide coalition of folks who care about our values. And that's what we've been driven by from the start and got us to where we are today. And so for me, you know, that's what it's been all about.
You know, he clearly knows you now because you two debated just a few days ago, right?
Yes, we danced, as I said.
Danced. That's a nice way of putting it.
In the middle of the debate, I said, let's dance. Because
did he take you up on it?
We definitely did the cha-cha or the tango, whichever one you want to go for it. And, you know, it was, you know, now he knows me. He knows I don't take, things sitting down. And I'm really passionate about the work and that I'm not afraid to call him on his BS. And so now he knows me.
But, you know, the question that really elicited that answer that we just played for you was the question about, we live in such a time where politicians are always saying nasty things about one another. We asked him to say something nice about you, what he thought, and that was his answer. So I'm going to ask the same question of you.
So I guess that was very nice of him to say that he didn't know me at all and that I'm a nobody. That's fabulous.
But what, can you say something, do you have anything nice to say now that you know him and you danced with him? Can you say something nice about him?
I mean, look, I thought we had a healthy debate last, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday, and I enjoyed the sparring and the challenge, right? I think I think that has been the greatest thing. I think him running for his life and for his career has been the best thing that ever happened to him, because now he's being a really good council member the last 2 months before the election. So, you know, I think that's what I can say. I mean, in this...
Like, But wait a minute.
The nice thing I'll say is that I did vote for him before.
Okay.
Because I thought he held the promise. I mean, seeing a Latino person from our communities being progressive at the state was something that at the time when I was growing up, I hadn't seen a lot of that, and I was respecting that, and I respected that. And so that's why it made the betrayal even
But you just
deeper.
Said something interesting, and we're talking to Isabel Jurado, who's running for the city council seat, now occupied by Kevin De Leon. You just said that because he's been forced to answer some, you know, uncomfortable questions, clearly, that in the past few months he's become a better L.A. city council person. If he's become a better city council person, why replace him?
I mean, we need representation 365 days a year, not just when someone thinks that they have something to lose, right? And that's why the community, out of all the options that they have, they went with a so-called nobody. But in reality, outside of these organizations, outside of the logos and labels, people know one another. They have their prayer groups. They have their community groups. They have their tenant organizations and people they break bread with. And those make up most of the people in our district, right? And those are the people that we appealed to. And those are the people that want more than what they're getting. They understand, like, people in this district see him and what he does, and they understand the transactional nature of it and know it's such a shallow representation. When we want more, we want a council member we can be proud of in front of the doors and behind the doors, because the thing is, we may vote him in, but then we don't expect him to do the job again, right? He ran for city council promising us that he would not leave to run for mayor. And what did he do? And now he's also has another committee opening that says that he's like running for lieutenant governor. I'm confused at what he's doing.
Hold that thought. Isabel Jurado, candidate for the 14th LA City Council District, with us on Countdown 2024. Her closing thoughts next.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Well, thanks for staying with us here on Countdown 2024. Along with Margaret Carrero, I'm Charles Feldman.
LA City Council candidate Isabel Jurado staying with us to close out today's edition of Countdown 2024.
Isabel, you said you lived with your dad still. What does he think about what you're doing?
He was.
Is that a loaded question?
He's proud. Well, after the debate, he was in the front row. I was just so heartened to see him there. He was like trying. He said, I didn't want to smile too much, but I'm just so proud of you. Right. And for him, it's just like he is the model of service that I emulate, because he's worked so hard for our family and other people. Like, he's the kind of guy that if you have a flat tire on the road, he will help you.
Yeah.
And so that's the spirit that is within me, and his fighting spirit as a undocumented worker. Like, he's just a fighter and a lover, despite his, you know, his hard demeanor.
How old is your kid?
My kid is 15.
What does she think about it?
Yeah.
Her mom running for office.
Have you watched Inside Out 2? What is it? Ennui? Yeah. But she's also proud of me in her own way. Yeah.
She's like on the side rooting for you, isn't she?
Yes. On the side rooting for me, but busy with their studies and everything involved. Yeah.
Isabel Jurado, thank you so much for spending some time with us. On tomorrow's edition of Countdown 2024, we will focus on the elusive youth vote and talking with two college students from opposite ends of the political spectrum who will both be voting, at least that's what they say, in their first presidential election. Only time's going to tell. Remember, by the way, we are here every afternoon at 2:30 through Election Day. And if you miss a show, catch up with us on our replay at 8 o'clock tonight, and also, of course, on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Countdown 2024 and follow the show.